Gospel of John, chapter 10, please. Verse number 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Verse number 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh my life from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Trust God will bless the reading of this chapter along with what's gone before. I have upon my heart to speak about the shepherd and the sheep. No, we were not in collusion here. In fact, I wrestled with this, and my wife came into my study and said, John, what is wrong with you? And I'm going to tell you honestly what I said. I don't want to speak on this. I'm going to address most of my remarks to sheep. But in doing so, I have to speak of the shepherd. So shepherds, bear with me. I am going to take your side because I'm afraid that what you understand, a lot of the sheep don't understand. Sometimes we as sheep are pretty thick and we overlook a lot of what goes on being a shepherd. So I'm going to have to touch on what goes on being a shepherd just for the sake of us sheep. And I am doing it really for the sake of us sheep. We have two things before us today. In speaking to sheep, I want to challenge you. With all the help that God will give me, I want to challenge you to follow the shepherd. That is your life's greatest goal, to follow the shepherd. But by way of speaking to the sheep, I want to encourage every shepherd here to feed the sheep. I have four very simple topics. My first one is this. Read the sheep. Shepherds, read the sheep. Did you know, sheep, that shepherds read you? The same as you read a book? Did you know they read you? No, they don't read your thoughts. They can't read thoughts. But they read your life. They watch for your souls, we heard already. They are those that must give an account. And I don't particularly think that's in a coming day, although it might have inference to that. I think it's now, constantly, on their knees, that when you're out fooling around, there are shepherds that are giving an account for their sheep. As you jump into bed at night, you say, "Thank you, Lord, for fixing the car, helping me with this today and that today." They get on their knees, and they're going over the sheep with the Lord. Did you know that? They read the sheep. The Lord Jesus said it like this. He being the good shepherd. So he is our example, is he not? The great example, the good shepherd. He said, "I know my sheep." And that word is, I have an intimate knowledge. I know what they're doing. I know how they do it. I know where they are. I know where their hearts are. I watch them. I read them. I see them. I know my sheep. So, sheep, don't get defensive when you think the shepherds are getting nosy. They're not nosy. They're seeking to know the sheep. They need to know the sheep. It's part of their God-given command to read the sheep. In order to read them, they have to know where they are. You've got to know where your heads are. Well, they do.
Shepherds, you do know that, right?
Of course they do. They got to know where your heart is, what you like. What you enjoy, what you're going in for. Because, you see, in the real sheep shepherd world, sheep keep their noses to the ground and they just kind of eat their way along in the things they enjoy. And if what they're eating they're enjoying and the fence comes, they'll find a hole in the fence and they'll just keep going because that's what they're enjoying. And it's the shepherd's job, because what they're enjoying might not always be good for them. It's the shepherd's job, and he knows this, to see to it that what they enjoy is within the boundaries of that fence. Because there's poison grass on the other side. See? The shepherds need to know the sheep. Okay, sheep. Where's your heart? Where is it? Is there something in there that loves the Lord Jesus? It really does. Maybe it's hidden a little bit, but is there something? Reach down deep as you can. Go ahead, right now. Is there not something in there that would just like to say, "Lord Jesus, I love Thee. For dying for me." Well, let that grow. Because a lot of times there's other things that we love. And they kind of push that down to the bottom of the stack. To the point where John had to write to the sheep and say, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world," you know it. And sometimes what we see gets a hold of our hearts. And as sheep, it looks all right and it looks good. And I'd like to have it. And before long, we're longing for it. And there becomes, we cultivate it, don't we? We cultivate a love for other things. Where's your heart? Solomon said, guard it. Keep your heart with all diligence. Guard that heart. Garrison it. For out of it are the issues of life. Where is your heart? Where's your head? Yes, we go to school, and you do well to, and you get all the education. But you remember this. There's one reason why the world is educating you. I hope that's not the reason why you go in for education, but there is one reason why this world educates you. For the same reason that the world educated Daniel and his three companions, so that they could take these young men, which were the best, and make them think like, act like, work for their world. That's one reason why the world educates you. So that all you can see in your mind is the business of this world. Money making in this world. And get your focus set on that, because that's where their focus is set. Ah, but listen, there's a greater business. There is a greater business that transcends all the business of this world, makes it look like nothing. Child's play. Kids playing in a sandbox. God has a business. It's called the king's business. And this king's business is going to take over this world. And you don't want to be left out. Where's your head? Keep your head about you. What are your interests? Interests are funny things. You can steer your interests. You actually can. You got the reins. You can steer your interests by just spending more time at things that you have a little interest in. So, again, let's pull off some layers here. Sheep. Any interest in your Bible? A little bit? Good. Just a little? Well, I'm going to challenge you. Turn a few pages and see if that little bit of interest, with the help of the Spirit of God that is in you, that is more interested in the pages of your Bible than you could ever be, because He's the author of it, and you don't understand it, but He is the author of it, and He wants to open it up like a rose, blossom it in your life, and you don't understand that. But if you have a little tiny bit of interest in it, He wants to open that to you and inflame that interest. Would you give Him a chance? Where's your head? Where's your interest? Just try it. Taste. You might like the taste. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Got a good business head on your shoulders? Some people do. They really do. And you can line things up and you know how to make things happen. Do you not think, just for a moment, that the very assembly that you're a part of could not use some God-given wisdom that maybe you as a sheep have? It's why God has you there, you know. He's in business. He is. Not copying the business of this world. He is in business. God is not off somewhere just unconcerned about the affairs of this world. He is totally concerned about the affairs in that little local assembly that you're a part of. He's so engrossed in the business of that assembly that He has put you there and He's given you a sense of business, of orderliness. And He says, in that little assembly, I want orderliness. And you've got it. You're doing nothing with it. Come on, sheep. There's shepherds among you that are just seeking to guide you in an orderly way. And what are you doing? Let the shepherds read you. Secondly, I want to look at leading the sheep. Because we have that, do we not? The very first thing that we read. Verse 3. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and sits down. Says, look at me. He leadeth them. Right off the bat, right from the very beginning, the work of the shepherd is to lead. Do you understand that, sheep? The shepherds understand that. Of course they understand that. And there's something about us that just doesn't like being led. I'll do it my way. I got good thoughts on this too. Why won't you listen to my voice? You've heard already, it's not a democracy. Shepherds are leading. You see, if shepherds aren't leading, you're not going anywhere. You know that. Shepherds know that. They're not just trying to put out fires and trying to stop this and stop that and stop the other thing. Shepherds lead. There's forward movement. They're going somewhere. They do have a plan. Don't you, shepherds? Sure you do. Where are you going to be in 3 months? Where do you see the assembly in 6 months? Where do you see the progress in the Bible reading in a year's time? What ground are you covering? They know that. No, sheep, you show up once in a while and, you say they're still in that chapter. But they've been leading steadily through it. You don't understand, but they know where they're going. They have to know where they're going. If they don't know where they're going, they're going to lose the whole flock. The whole thing will be scattered. But they do know where they're going. And when you can't see it, sheep, now I'm talking to, when you can't see it, you are going to have to trust the shepherds. That's what God put them there for. They are mature men. They are men that have known the dark days, as we've been hearing. They're men that have wrestled things out with God. They're men that have shed tears over the leading of the sheep. And they know there's rough ground to cover. And they're just seeking to bring you along. Because they know where they want you to be in 3 months. And it's not out in that world. And they know where they want you to be in a year's time if the Lord be not come. And it's not with your name on some list in the top 500 companies in Detroit. Oh, your name might get there, but that's not where they're leading you. That's not their objective. They know where they would like to carry you along to. So when they ask you if you wouldn't mind sharing in the gospel meeting, it's not because there's nobody else to preach. It's because they're just trying to bring you along a little bit and develop a little spark of something they think they see there. They're leading. They're leading the sheep. Now, sheep, let me ask you this. Are you easy to lead? To lead? Or are you stubborn like the horse or the mule that the Bible speaks about and says, don't be like a horse or a mule? I don't like horses. Mainly because horses don't like me. We have a little horse farm down the road from us. So I took my grandchildren who love horses down to see the horses. And I sit Caleb on this part and Jacob on this piece of the fence, and I'm standing between them, and the horse comes over, licks at them and nuzzles them and nuzzles this one, comes over to me and bites me on the shoulder. Yeah, and the kids say, Grandpa, did he bite you? Yeah, they always bite me. Horses don't like me. I don't like horses. They're a stubborn thing. Maybe they sense that I don't like them. Maybe I'm just a bit too much like them. gotta hurt, doesn't it? Get that piece of metal shoved in your mouth and steered around by somebody else. It's gotta hurt, doesn't it? It's the only way that animal can be brought under control. Oh, but God doesn't want to put a bridle in your mouth. He just wants to attach a couple strings to your heart and put the reins of that in the hands of the shepherds so that they can lead you in the right direction. Are you hard to lead? You make it difficult for the shepherds to lead you? Are you a good follower? I could ask the shepherds here. There's a number of them. I could ask them and they could tell me what people are good followers. I could get off on this following thing, couldn't I? You know, following is a big thing in the Word of God. It's really big with God, following is. The apostle said it, didn't he? Be ye followers of me as I am of Christ. Christ spent years here on this earth just to cultivate 11 followers. So that men who learned to be followers could train others to be followers. Also, following is a big thing. First of all, it involves submission. Submission to the Word of God. Submission to them that are above you, that are over you in the Lord. You have a submissive spirit, sheep? Are you one of those balky sheep? Always tossing your head to one side. Always sarcastic. Or are you a sheep that just listens to the shepherd? You know, you could make it a lot easier for the shepherd to lead if you just try to be a little more submissive. It involves obedience. Yeah, there's no way around this one. I got to hit it. If you are going to be a follower, you must be obedient to shepherds as they guide you in the Word of God. For there is one thing demanded by God in His Word, and that is simple obedience. Do you know we are never instructed that we need to know? Well, it's great when we know. And God would like to unfold His Word to us so that we do understand and we do know. But ignorance is no excuse for disobedience. Never in the Word of God. Not knowing doesn't mean you don't have to obey. That's why God has given you shepherds who know, whose faith you can follow. And because they have obeyed it, you just follow them and you will learn. You will learn the truth. But while you don't know it, you still need to obey. Obedience is mandatory if you're going to be a follower. You know, three times over in this passage that we read, the Lord Jesus spoke of following. Verse 4, verse 5, and verse 27. That's how important it was to him. It involves respect. I see something sometimes that bothers me. I know this book was probably only printed in some, maybe even by ungodly men in some print shop somewhere. Maybe it meant nothing to them and they tossed a bunch of them into boxes and wrapped them up and shipped them off to sell them. Maybe they only printed this to make money. But that's not why I have it. I see something that bothers me quite a bit. When I see people that this book is supposed to mean everything to, and I see them toss it on the floor, or leave it in the car for weeks, or toss it on the shelf at the back of the hall, then come in the next week looking for it. Any respect for this book? You realize that in this book is the very mind and heart of God, the God of this universe revealed. And it's yours for knowing. If you'd only follow. If you'd only follow. Respect, reverence for God and for His people. That's what following entails. Oh yes, it also entails faith and trust. You know, there's a principle in the Word of God. Again, John takes it up, the same one that tells us about the shepherd. John takes it up and says, You don't love your brother? Now here's the principle. How can you love God who you don't see when you don't love your brother who you do see? So I'm going to just take that principle, that idea, and bring it to you, sheep. How can you obey the God of the Bible that you don't see when you will not trust and obey the shepherds you do see? That's what following involves. Trusting the men that God has placed in overseership above you, among you. Trusting those men's judgment. Trusting the shepherd. And following the shepherd who you see. Maybe you don't understand. Follow. Are you a good follower? Are you one of those followers that the shepherds have to spend a lot of time just keeping you inside the holes in the fence? Lead the sheep. Feed the sheep. A lot has already been said on this. Look at some of the expressions that are here, will you? Verse number 4. He putteth forth his own sheep. Puts them forth to what? He puts them forth to feed them. Verse 9. Pasture. Verse 28. I give unto them. Let me draw in your memory a little bit. Psalm number 23. Not wanting. Green pastures. Still waters. A table prepared. What's that all about? It's all about feeding. David understood it. And every shepherd in this place understands it. Not that everyone does it, but every shepherd knows this. That sheep need to be fed. You know what happens when sheep aren't fed? Sure, they know. Any one of them could come up here and tell you better than I can. They get sick. And when sheep get sick, all sorts of things go wrong. And sickness spreads. It's a disease. When sheep are hungry and not fed, they're unruly. They can't be controlled. They can't be led. They got tummy problems. And they seek to fill it with other things. So sheep, what are you eating? Are you choking on the weeds of this world? Again, the Lord Jesus said it, didn't He? I know He was talking about the gospel and He was talking about the good seed. But He talked about this world and its choking effect. It's no different now that you are saved and a sheep in God's pasture, in the little local pasture of Stark Road, or Jackson, or Nova Scotia, or New Brunswick, or Pennsylvania, or wherever you're from. In that little pasture, there are shepherds seeking to feed you, and what are you doing? You're chewing on nettles, and weeds, and spiky things that hurt. And you say, I like them. They got a different crunch to them. Well, they do, all right. And it's the same thing that's going to kill you. And it breaks the shepherd's heart to see you choking on weeds. He watches as sheep go over and they got their heads stuck into the intoxicating waters of this world. And it gives you a buzz and a high. And you got all kinds of reasons why you should or should be allowed to drink this or drink that. And all the while, they are seeking to bring you to still waters. And they have a problem with it. All they want to do is feed you. Because they know this. that if they can feed you at the green pastures of God's Word, at the still waters of His presence, you will grow. You will grow. You can't help it. You see, if you are truly born again, and I hope there's nobody in the pasture, the local pasture, that's not born again. Because if you're born again, you've got divine life. The Spirit of God is in there. And all He needs is a little bit of green grass. And He'll start to grow in you. And all He needs is a little bit of that fresh, fresh, still waters. And your life will start to flourish. Because the Spirit of God that's within you would just love to take of what is of God and make it part of your life. He would do that. So they are seeking, the shepherds are seeking to bring you to the place where you will be fed. You know, there's two sides to this story. It is true, and yet it's not true. I hope you know what I mean. It is true that they can only lead you to the water. They can only lead you to the green grass. You must eat. You must eat. But it's not true, because if you're not eating, as we heard already, and you're not drinking, it's the desire of every shepherd that they explore every reason and every avenue. Because your soul is at stake. And your life for Christ is at stake. That they explore every avenue to find a way to get you to eat. But I don't want to take away from your responsibility, sheep. Open your mouth. Start eating. Just nibble a little bit. Would you please just taste it? Reminds me, we had a girl staying with us, and she was raised by her grandmother, came from a broken home. She came to stay with us while she was going to university, and her grandmother spoiled her rotten. And I took it upon me as my job to unspoil her. Whew. I met my match. I'll just rest my case there. I remember one night at the supper table, we had rice. And she went, what's that? Rice. Oh, I don't like rice. Oh, did you ever try it? No, I know I don't like it. All right. Humor me. Just take a little bit. No. And I did this. I put some on a spoon and I went over to her like a little baby. I said, open wide. And she played along, so she opened wide. And I put a little, maybe 5 grains of rice, a little bit of salt and butter on it, in her mouth. Oh, she says, not bad. I said, have some. She had some. What's that? Sweet potatoes. Oh, I don't like sweet potatoes. Do you ever have sweet potatoes? No. Humor me. Oh, she said, it's not bad. It's not bad. I said, yeah, especially with marshmallows and brown sugar. You can hide anything. It's not bad. You know, the dear girl never caught on. I did that for 9 months with her. When she was leaving, she came to me. She gave me a big hug. She said, thanks and no thanks. She said, I gained 15 pounds. And any girl doesn't like that. But you know, all she had to do was taste it. You know what's wrong, sheep? You've never tasted it. That's 90% of the battle. And if our dear shepherds could only get you to taste it. So humor them a little bit. Open wide. And let them put a little something in there that's good. It's good. And your expression might be the same as hers. Not bad. No, it's not. In fact, I've been reading it for a few years now. I haven't found one bad taste yet. Not one. In fact, I've surprised myself that even in the most untasteful passages, I have found delight. And you will too. Taste it. Feed the sheep. My time is up. Shepherds, I got to tell you this one. You know it so well. But the sheep don't know this one. They really don't. I don't think there's very many sheep that have much appreciation for the last point I have here. But you know what the Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, the great example for all shepherds said? We read it. I read it slowly so that you could get it. I lay down my life for the sheep. And to make it rhyme, I just put bleed for the sheep. Sorry, shepherds, but you know that's true, don't you? It's not a part-time job. Sheep are not stupid. You cannot spend 80 hours a week working for this world and 2 hours a week for the sheep and then try to convince the sheep that this means everything to you. You can't do it, can you? You know that. You're going to have to spend time at it. And I'm looking at men that have burned themselves out just to spend time for the sheep. They've given themselves. And maybe you don't consider that sheep, but there are men sitting in this audience and they have given their life for you. They have foregone legitimate things that they could have done and gone in for themselves. And they have literally bled for the sheep. It is their life. It is their all. They are not hirelings. You couldn't pay them enough for what they do. There is no recompense now that could ever recompense them for laying down their life. As they've laid them down for you. Do you appreciate that? Well, let's start at this. Do you appreciate what the Lord has done for you? Oh, yes, you say. He laid down His life for me. I've heard you say it on Sunday mornings sometimes. And you do appreciate that, don't you? You love Him because of what He's done for you. And hopefully you've come to love Him just for who He is. But it's what He's done for you that has fanned that appreciation. Well, I want you this week to... Here's the challenge again. I want you this week to just take a good look at the shepherds. Not critically now, but just take a good look at the shepherds. And what have they done for you? When's the last time you went up to one of the shepherds and just said, "Thank you. I appreciate it." You don't think they'd like to hear that? Well, then what are you doing on your feet on Sunday morning? He loves to hear it. He loves to hear honest appreciation from the heart. Not just words, honest appreciation from hearts that appreciate the Good Shepherd. And there might be shepherds here, and they're just about ready to sit down under the juniper bush. Nobody cares. They work so hard. When's the last time you thanked the shepherd? And just told him, "I haven't always been easy to manage, but I do understand a little bit of the sacrifice you've made for me. And I'll try to make your job a little easier. Even when you correct me, I'll try to listen." Come on, sheep. We would be lost without the shepherds. Without the shepherds, there would be no assembly. Can't be. Without the shepherds, the sheep will scatter. And the whole thing will come to a standstill. May God bless the shepherds and help them. And may every sheep, every one of us here, learn to follow and learn to appreciate God's shepherd.